To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Course 520 Tuesday, synonymous on this show with our friend Albert Breer. And I want to play something from back in about halfway through November. This was Albert on the MMQB podcast. Now, we had had him on the previous week after Shador finally got into the game. Albert kind of gave us a hard time.
It was after the Ravens game.
Yeah, it was after the Ravens game. And here was Albert on his podcast.
I went from the annoyance stage to the amusement stage.
I'm
kind of enjoying it now. You know what I mean? Like all these people, like I was on Cleveland radio earlier this week and I've done radio with these guys forever and they're awesome. And, you know, but like it almost became a sport for me. Like the 20 minutes I was on with my guy, Nick, and like where I was like shooting down everything he said, you know what I mean? I was like, and it was the easiest thing in the world. It was just like, what other fifth round pick have you ever talked about like this?
Ever?
No. Like, do you know who the Browns' fifth round pick was 3 years ago? Can you remember? Like, how would that guy normally be developed?
Richard LeCount, he sucked. Now, Albert Breer joins us on the fan hotline. Albert, welcome back to the show, friend. Let's talk about a fifth round pick, huh?
Hey, guys, what's up? Yeah, no, I own everything I say. You guys know that. I'm notorious with some people on this show, I guess, now. My clips have been doing great online, it looks like, though, right?
I mean, you got...
Definitely.
Many people like what you've had to say, and some didn't like what you had to say. So I'm just curious. Yeah. It is one game. What'd you think about Shador on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's, like, consistently getting better. You know, like, that's the best thing you can say. And, like, I think you see instincts. I think you see, you know, a talent level. Now, again, this isn't like a Josh Allen or anything like that that we're talking about, but I do think, like, he looks to me more talented than Dylan Gabriel, so that's showing up. And I do think, like, there's a feel out there that, you know, maybe, like, I don't know, like, I've gone back and forth on this a bunch because, you know, you go back and you think about, like, okay, like, what do you miss in practice? And what could the coaches and the front office people, what could they have missed in practice? And, I think back to, I think back to Jimmy Garoppolo. Right. And this was 11 years ago now. And Jimmy Garoppolo looked objectively awful in training camp. I actually had a laugh with him about this, you know, back a few weeks ago or a couple months ago. And it was like they took this guy in the second round and then they put him in a preseason game and no one expected anything. I was like, oh, well, that looked pretty good. And then they put him in another preseason game. It's like, that looks better. And it was just after the next, to the point where he got like the nickname in New England, Game Time Garoppolo, because it didn't look right in the practice and it didn't look right in camp. And then when the lights came on, he had a way of kind of rising to the occasion. And I wonder if there's a little bit of that with Shador where, look, like you put a lot of rookies in these situations. And, like, that straight line that you want them to be on starts to shake. And I don't get that sense at all with Shador. And I'm sure part of that is, you know, like, being who he is and having the father he's had and having played under a great deal of pressure his entire life, being Deion's son. So you do get that sense that he's got a good feel for the game. And, I think it's gotten better week over week. So, because this is what we said at the start when he got in there, was like he keeps earning his opportunities, and you know, now he's done enough to be the starter the rest of the year. So you get a more full evaluation on him, and we'll see what they think at the end of the season. It's still hard for me to imagine like some sort of scenario where he's the quarterback for 26, but you know, certainly he's created more opportunity for himself at the very least.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about like the Garoppolo comp is that it's like we were there in training camp and we watched him be much better than Dylan was then. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be different if like we left these training camps being like, oh my gosh, he looks nowhere close to as good as Dylan Gabriel. Like, everyone that was there, and then Nick and I were both there for a lot of days, were like, well, he looked much better than Dylan this day. And but like, they kept going back to the idea that it was all things we couldn't quantify, yeah, and things we couldn't see. And it was all these other things, like he was behind as far as being able to, you know, diagnose plays, etc.
Operation.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think, like, that part of it is really – I mean, look, like, we've talked about this a lot, right? That part of it's really important. And I know fans don't want to pay attention to that. Some reporters ignore it. Like, but, like, the reality of that is, like, if your quarterback has catching up to do on the operational part of it, then that's going to limit what you can do with the other 10 guys in the huddle. And, like, I think that piece of it can be an underrated thing where – like, look, like, as a coach, like, you can be okay with scaling back to accommodate who the quarterback is. That's a hard thing to do, though, because of what it might mean for the other 10 guys in the huddle. You know, like, so there are things like that, like, where, and look, like, I was there for one day in the summer. You know what I mean? Like, so my information is based on, like, who I'm talking to and everything else, and that's the way it is for me with 32 teams, And look, like, what I told you guys, if you go back, like, I think I told you guys before the draft, there's a chance he slipped out of the first round. That was based on what people thought around the league of him. And I told you guys in the spring and the summer that he was behind, and that I thought, like, he would wind up behind Dylan Gabriel on the depth chart when the season began, which that happened too. But credit to him, like, he's worked his tail off, and he's caught up, and, you know, he's got himself into a position where, I mean, he can't go out there and run an offense the way that Joe Flacco can. That's impossible to ask a rookie to do that. You know what I mean? But, you know, evidently he can do enough to have the coaches comfortable to put him in there and for it to be good enough to allow for the other 10 guys to perform at a good enough level.
I think what I struggle with, Albert, is that, you know, we heard, and I know now the framing is from a lot of folks, well, he was, you know, Dylan was just more NFL ready. But I look at it and I think, well, if a guy's more NFL ready, but he's ready to be a backup, and, you know, could you have used all of the reps? I mean, you got to, you know, Dylan was getting first team reps at the start of camp. He was getting first team reps in practice. He was all the way, even when Joe Flacco was the starting quarterback, he was getting first team reps during practice during the week. And then I watched him go out there and I never saw anything that looked like a starting quarterback. Whereas I'm now three games into the Shador experience and I've seen it might just be a game, but I've seen that. So how can I not then look at this and then go to Kevin Stefanski or to Andrew Berry or the leadership and go, how can I trust your evaluation of quarterbacks going forward? Because it feels like you've almost wasted half a season with Dylan Gabriel.
It's a fair question to ask. I'd make a couple points, right? Like, I think the first thing is the idea of first-team reps. Dylan really wasn't getting very many in the summer either. I mean, for the most part, it was like, let's get Joe Flacco ready to go. You know, those guys were getting mixed in with different groups in the spring. And so their evaluation and how they split the reps up in the summer was based on the competition for the spring, you know, from the spring. And that really was without, I mean, I said to you guys then, Joe Flacco got a first round bye, right? Flacco didn't get as many reps with the starters back in the spring because they wanted to get a look at the other three guys. Those three guys, you know, were ranked based off of merit going into training camp, and then in training camp they got the reps that were there. But even like based on that, like, it wasn't very many reps at all that were going to anybody else but Joe Flacco for the breadth of training camp. And, you know, like, when Kenny Pickett got hurt, Dylan Gabriel ate up some of those based on what they had done in the spring. So I just don't know what other way there is to do it. You know, like, if the coaches see it, the players see it, and, like, one kid's ahead of the other, just as far as picking up the offense and being able to operate and have everybody do their job in a practice setting at the best level you possibly can in the summer to get them ready to play in the season. I mean, you just throw another kid out there because it's like, oh, I think he has something. That's a good way for the veterans to look at you sideways. You know, so that's first piece of it is, like, just, I think, like, the idea of first-team reps, there weren't very many to go around. I think Dylan had earned that based on where he was in the spring coming out of college and then going into the summer. And then I think the second piece of it, where I think it is fair, is, like, this is what happens when you put four people in your quarterback room. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's really where you can criticize them and saying, like, okay, you know, even if you don't think Shador was a third-round pick, could you have used that third-round pick on somebody else? Dylan would have been gone. There are teams that were ready to take Dylan high in the fourth round. I can tell you the Dolphins were one of them. And then just takes you to the fifth round, and then you got three guys in the quarterback room instead of two, instead of four, and two of them are veterans, so you can get Shador some of those reps. So, you know, I think there's a couple different ways to look at this. But I don't know. The idea that there was something nefarious going on here is crazy to me.
See, like, I actually,
everybody wants to win.
Real quick, Albert, the funny thing is, I think the sabotage thing, I don't think a lot of reasonable people were leaning into that. I think there's a difference between sabotage and just not, and basically disproportionately. Yes, exactly.
That's what it is. It's a misevaluation. Yeah. But it's a critical misevaluation. Yeah,
And I think that's fair. And I will say this to you guys. Like, I was very critical of Shador before the draft in a way other people weren't. I got killed for it, right? Okay? So I told you what the league thought of him. And, like, I think that got proven out over draft weekend. That's fair, right? Like, that, like, where I was coming from, I think, kind of reflected where the league was on him, okay? I also would tell you that the league, I think, was a little higher than I even knew on Dylan Gabriel. However, them being higher than I knew on Dylan Gabriel and Dylan Gabriel going over Shador Sanders wasn't a result I saw coming based on all of the calls that I made over the course of however many weeks leading up to the draft. And I just tell you, like, the comps that I was getting on those two guys sort of reflect what you're saying. You know, and I think this is where you can be critical of the Browns, right? Like, the comps I was getting on Dylan Gabriel were poor man's Tua, Chase Daniel. It was like that versus with Shador, it was more Geno Smith, Teddy Bridgewater, guys who are starters but weren't, like, great starters in the league. You know what I mean? So, like, I just think, like, I think that's where you can say yes. Like, the evaluation, like, even though Shador wasn't as good a prospect as most people thought in the eyes of NFL people, and Dylan was a better prospect than people thought in the eyes of NFL people, I would say most NFL people probably still had Shador ahead of Dylan. So I think you can criticize the Browns' evaluation there.
Do you feel like Stefanski would prefer a clean slate, a fresh start somewhere else?
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon.
Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
A tricky question. I think, like,
I think he likes the people that he works with. I think this is just my opinion. I think he likes working with the Haslams. I think he's got a good working relationship with them. I think, you know, obviously he and Andrew Berry have a good rapport. I just think so much has happened in the last 6 years. I think it is fair to ask that question, is like, is this the right mix to go forward with? Based on like the history that everybody has together, you went through the Baker thing together, the decision making on Baker, which Baker, like clearly Baker would have been a better answer at quarterback. You wind up making the trade for Deshaun Watson. Clearly that was a mistake. And you had this core of players that I think was very clearly a playoff caliber core. And because of the mess of a quarterback, the chance that that core of players had of really competing at the highest level was completely undermined, right? So that's your history right now. So how do you come out of that? That doesn't mean like the people can't work together, there aren't good people, but like I think when that's your history, your working history with someone, like it can be a little bit difficult to come out of that. So I think that's something that everybody's going to have to evaluate at the end of the year.
Albert,
does
I think
that makes sense.
No, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? No, it certainly, because I think there are some fans who would feel like there's just too much water under the bridge, whether it's with Stefanski or Barry in general. I think what's interesting, and you've been all over this, that Kevin is still very well thought of around the league, and there's this perception that Kevin really hasn't had maybe the final say in these proceedings, whether it's Baker or Deshaun or Shador. And what I struggle with is when it comes to it, he's kind of like the Teflon Don. Like, you know, 6 wins in the last 2 years doesn't really stick to him. The Deshaun thing didn't really stick to him. The Baker decision didn't really stick to him, right? Like, none of the negative things that have happened in Cleveland have stuck to him. And yet, if you are part of an organization that goes along with it, on some level, you have to be accountable for the failures of the last 6 years. Right. I think that's what I struggle with.
And I guess in some ways it's like sort of the benefit of working for an organization that has the history the Browns do, which is like people will look at your failures, and if they think you're a good, smart coach or a good, smart GM, they'll chalk it up to, well, everyone fails there. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, I think we've seen that in the past, you know, where, you know, people will be with an organization that has had the sort of track record that the Browns have, and they'll be able to maintain a level of respect. You know, it was a good example of is Todd Bowles, right? So Todd Bowles, like, had the 4 years as head coach of the Jets, and a lot of people looked at, like, what happened in New York. It's like, oh, well, that's just Woody Johnson. Like, that was a mess. And he wound up getting a second shot. A lot of defensive coaches, most defensive coaches don't get second shots at being a head coach. You know, but a lot of people looked at the situation Bowles was in with the Jets, like, oh, well, he won 10 games that 1 year, you know? And look at what he had to overcome to do it. And, you know, sure enough, Bowles gets a second shot with Tampa. So I would sort of look at Stefanski that way, is that, like, I do think some people look at it and say, well, he made the playoffs twice. He overcame a lot to do that. You know what I mean? And so whether that's fair or not, I do think it's part of the equation when people are looking at Kevin and his track record. And I do think, look, like, I'm not the first person to say this to you guys. Like, I don't think he'd be unemployed for very long if the Browns fired him.
All right, Albert, let me ask you which is more plausible after that report over the weekend about Deshaun Watson and potentially not only being on the roster next season, potentially even getting some starting opportunities next year. Shador's the starter week one in 2026. Deshaun Watson's the starter in week one of 2026. Or the Browns draft a quarterback in the top five for 2026.
I mean, I think they could have a veteran who's not on the roster right now, you know, to be honest with you. Like, I think I've said this to you guys pretty consistently. I still don't think the Browns starter for next year is on the roster right now. Now, maybe he is. Like, maybe it's Watson. Maybe it's Shador. Would the Browns entertain a trade for Deshaun Watson and eat some of the money to try to buy a draft pick? You know, we've seen them do creative things like that in the past. You guys can remember the Brock Osweiler trade where, you know, money was sort of used as a commodity in that trade. And so, you know, it wouldn't shock me if, it wouldn't shock me if one of those two or both of them are in the mix next year, but I would be surprised if they're the only two in the mix, if that makes sense. Like, I don't see a scenario where it's Deshaun versus Shador for the starting job. And it's just as hard for me to envision a scenario where they just head into the offseason and say, yes, like, this guy is our starter for next year. Although there is precedent for it, by the way, guys. Like, I've talked a lot about Shador's draft status. Washington did do that one year with Sam Howell. Sam Howell was a fifth-round pick, if you guys remember, out of North Carolina. So it's not like that hasn't happened before. It would just surprise me at this juncture.
Albert, 44-year-old Phil Rivers, unretiring to play potentially with the Colts there. Will you unretire, cash in some of that eligibility, maybe try and get some NIL to an Ohio State title run?
Oh, what do we mean? What would I do? I mean, like unretire from what? Unretire from playing like high school football poorly?
I didn't know if you're going to go back to the lantern. I didn't know if maybe a little walk-on action here. If Phil Rivers can do it with pros, I think you can do it with college kids.
I mean, I unretired from playing Beirut over the weekend at the Big Ten title game in Indianapolis. Does that count?
That's pretty good.
I think that's a pretty good way to go.
Yeah, and I will say, like, we crashed an Indiana tailgate. And I hit the last cup, beat their ass in Beirut. And they had some really weird rules, too, just so you guys know. I don't know what's going on over there, but it was far from regulation. But we beat them with their rules. And, you know, I may have been – me and my buddy Seiko might have been significantly older than the group we beat.
It's like
Michael Jordan and the Wizards, you know?
it's Indiana. They support inbreeding over there. Albert, be great, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Albert Breer there, MMQB, on the fan hotline. Very civilized conversation there. We'll react to what Albert had to say about the Browns and Shador in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
And the fun thing about this is, as it pertains to the Shador versus Dylan discussion, it's not even become much of a discussion because it's so – he made it one-sided. Like, yeah. And what I've appreciated, at least, I thought Lyman did a good job with this for some of the segment. And then I thought Albert did a good job, too. The idea that, they were wrong about that. Like, they were wrong for going as hard as they did in that respect. And I thought Albert gave a new wrinkle to it, too. The idea that, like, yeah, okay, if all the draft evaluators and everyone across the league was saying Shador comps out to, in his mind, a Teddy Bridgewater type or someone like that, and if Dylan Gabriel comps out to Chase Daniel, like, it's a different comp. And that's maybe where they were wrong in the evaluation.
Yeah, I mean, I also think he kind of went there that, you know, the Browns were kind of wrong in their evaluation. And listen, I think, you know, I think the one thing that Albert said that I absolutely agree with is Sunday didn't change whether Shador will be the starter in 2026.
Right.
And the point of that is now where we differ is, I saw enough in one game to think, man, if he does that four more times, that should be a real conversation.
Well,
right?
I think Albert would get there. If he does it four more times, if he has four more games like that, I think it'd be, you'd almost, I don't know how you couldn't get there.
Well, but I mean, I think Albert said, you know, I have a hard time seeing them not going quarterback or a different quarterback.
I think that's because Albert doesn't believe that he's going to have that game four more times or anything close to that game four more times. I think that's where that comes in. I think Albert did it the right way in that there's an admittance of in the Dylan Gabriel versus Shador. All right. Lost that convo, but I think he's thinking about the bigger picture side of this. And it didn't sound to me like Albert's convinced that Shador is going to be the next great part of the Browns roster and fix all the quarterback problems.
Only thing I'd say about the Teddy Bridgewater comp, I think physically they're very similar quarterbacks. I actually think Shador moves around better. And here's the other thing. Teddy didn't throw the ball around the yard the way Shador does. Like, Teddy wasn't a playmaker. Teddy was a good college quarterback with some good physical traits. Maybe they're talking, you know, just individual trait for trait. Shador definitely has more of just a natural make plays happen and a knack for that and understanding that I never saw with Teddy at Louisville or certainly in the bigs.
Well, so if you remember the comps on the low end was the Teddy Bridgewater, Geno Smith comps that Albert's bringing up. But that was like the low end of comps. The higher end was Jordan Love and Joe Burrow. You know, so like there was the point is that it wasn't, I don't remember the backup names that he said outside of Chase Daniels. I don't remember who he said. Who else did he say?
Oh, for Dylan?
Yeah, for Dylan.
Anytime somebody talks about Dylan, I just kind of check out. It should be noted.
He brought up like three backup names, and all I can think of is Chase.
I know I make a lot of jokes about Dylan because he's so tiny, but really, my problem with Dylan isn't about Dylan. It's the same thing with Deshaun at this point. My problem isn't with the human being. It's with the organization and their insistence in, yeah, just trust us.
Well, yeah, hell with that. And where I've taken a lot out in Dylan in that regard is that I got so angry with people that would tell us that what we were seeing with our own eyeballs wasn't right.
Yeah.
And that's part of this conversation as well. And that's why I think it's interesting our perspective of it and being at training camp every day and watching how it was going down to then have even Albert suggest the Jimmy Garoppolo story of like, maybe he's just bad in practice and he's a gamer, which has become an obvious, like so many people have moved to that as well. Guys, we were there every day. We told you guys as it was going on, This doesn't look good with Dylan. This is bad practices with Dylan. Meanwhile, Shador was completing passes left and right, and anybody that was there can tell you that. That's why every beat reporter that was there all has nice things to say about Shador because they saw in practice and they saw with their two eyes what was going on.
Yeah, and the only thing that I think still left me wanting with the Albert interview specific to Shador is, you know, the idea of, well, Shador wasn't ready. In training camp, one, I watched Dylan. From the operational side, he might have been ready. From the football side, he wasn't ready. The moment was consistently too big for him. But two, how do you get a young player with upside ready? Simple. You give them practice reps, and you give them practice reps with the better players. Like that's as simple as that, and they didn't. And they did that for Dylan, who, as we saw, has a very, very, very limited ceiling. Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, joins us in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.